Good evening. I'd like to call to order the June 6, 2023 special meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Can we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Ferguson's absent. Mr. Keck?
Here.
Ms. Savage?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. And Mr. Ferguson is on his way. He's absent right now, but he's on his way. So the purpose of our meeting tonight is to discuss future levy plans and the current contingency plan impact. If you know, at our last meeting in May, Todd did share a couple different scenarios with us and at that point, I don't think we had a lot of time to digest and think about what we want to do moving forward. So we know that we have to wait for the state budget to get finalized to really have an idea of what that's going to do to our five-year forecast. But in the meantime, I think we could at least be talking about future plans. You know, do we go on in November? Do we hold off until next May? What are the pros and cons of different kinds of things? So with that.
Would you like me to do the update?
Sure. Update on the contingency. Sure.
Okay. So I have a spreadsheet, and I'm happy to share. I didn't print it just because we have names on it.
Gotcha.
But, so we have four new positions to the district that were all sparked by special ed. So speech and language, two intervention specialists, and then an addition of another preschool classroom. So those are new to the forecast.
Okay.
We've had 23 positions replaced, so people who left and we filled under things like they were special ed, nurses, school psychs, our transportation director, OT, kindergarten teacher, third grade teacher, guidance. So then we have 23 positions that have not been replaced, so they were openings that people went other places. And we did not replace those positions. And they're kind of all over the place. So Tom Holdren's position, shouldn't have said the name, but Director of Academic Affairs and Principal Leadership. We've had a couple custodian positions, math, computer, six core content areas at Bunzeld. Special ed aides, the media specialists at the high school, secretary openings. Then we've also had 10 internal transfers. So 10 people moved into open positions, but their position hasn't been replaced. So it's kind of another category. Mm-hmm. And then we've had 3 internal transfers that were replaced. One example would be an opening at the high school guidance. Someone internally filled that spot, and we filled their spot at the elementary.
Okay.
So that's where we are to date. With that, we are our savings is 1.5, a little extra, in salaries, and another 500,000 in insurance and benefits, bringing us right at 2 million. Then we add in supplemental coaching position savings and travel savings, brings us to $2.3 million in savings. Okay. So remember, part of that process is trying to keep an eye on class size as well.
Right.
It's very fluid in the summer months. As you know, I typically don't even give an enrollment update because it's just not accurate with ins and outs. But class sizes 7-12 would be at 35, 1-6 are at 30, and kindergarten is at 28.
Okay. Any questions on that?
So those are a lot of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So what is our net personnel decrease?
Hmm. Give me one second.
Okay.
We're down 33 staff members.
And then we added 4.
Correct.
So 29 maybe?
Correct.
Okay.
And those 4 ads, again, were all required by law.
Right.
We did not have to keep caseloads within the state and federal guidelines. We had to add staff.
Okay.
And actually, it seems like, are you counting anything that happened kind of before we made this decision or not? You know, I mean, because I know, like, over this past year, there was always a little trepidation if somebody was resigning or, you know, I guess I'm thinking kind of board office area or something, if there were...
That
includes all of that. Okay.
Well, that does not. So anyone we lost last year and didn't replace
is not in that number. Okay.
That is just effective from who was on board last school year.
Okay.
And who will or will not be returning next year.
Okay.
So is there of those 29, are those any posted openings of those 29 at this?
We do have, not of the 29, but it is encompassed in the replace numbers.
Okay.
We have 12 positions yet to be filled, but they're all reflected in the numbers I just gave you.
Okay.
So we're going to go into next year 29 short.
Less. Yep. Unless, as of today.
We're
watching numbers pretty closely. Kindergarten seems to be trending higher than last year. That number probably won't change on people typically enroll and stay in kindergarten, where we'll see withdrawals or every other grade.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying it would never happen because someone could move, but generally speaking, kindergarten stays pretty static, and so we're keeping a careful eye on K numbers. And it does look like we might have to add a section at Edgewood, and we might have to make a shift at Northwood from a first grade teacher back to a K teacher. But we're watching that. So there's only room for 4 kids to enroll at Northwood, which traditionally wouldn't be a lot of space.
Right.
So of the 12 posted, how many are elementary? Sorry to make you
scroll through.
There's 3 elementary classroom teachers. I'm going to be honest, there's 2 intervention specialists, and I just haven't, never mind, they're both at the high school, so... there are 4 elementary openings. I lied again. Hold on. 7. So some of those are office staff. I have them split out into certified and classified. So there's 3 classified and 4 certified.
Okay.
I didn't have them split out by grade level that way. There's 3 MHS certified, and then 2 Bunzeld classified, and that's the whole list.
And it's been challenging trying to fill positions.
Yes. Some of the positions, as I mentioned, are... you know, required by law and hard to fill, like intervention specialists, OT has been challenging. I think we had 2 OT applicants, one of which wasn't even certified yet. Some of the spots have been challenging.
Okay. Hi, Jermaine. We got an update on the contingency plan right now and the savings right now. It's about $1.5 million in salaries, $500,000 in benefits, and then additional for the supplemental and transportation savings brings us to like $2.3 million in savings right now, as of today. Okay.
I'd say that's a pretty good place to be with knowing our elementary numbers are trending up a little bit, so there's a little extra to work with if needed.
Mm-hmm. So are we looking at eliminating some elective classes at the Bunsell or high school level?
Some have dissolved just by nature of who resigned. So let me go back to that spreadsheet. One example would be computer tech class that was offered. Someone left that position. It's not being replaced. We're not reducing on our own. It would only happen through someone leaving the system.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
I'm sorry, I know I'm late and I already answered, but that savings is a reflection of only the position, like not the positions that we have postings for, right? Like, so the positions that we know we need to fill, those are, that number is separate for, like, there's two numbers, right? There's unfilled positions that we're going to replace, and then the savings is positions we're not going to replace.
Correct.
Okay. Just want to make sure I understood that. Not like,
I mean, it wouldn't be, if we're replacing them, it wouldn't be a savings.
No, I'm just I'm just asking a question, making sure, like, oh, these are the current vacancies, and that, I'm just clarifying.
Yeah, the current vacancies are, we have two kindergarten teachers, one third grade, two intervention specialists, one math, and one Japanese. We also have, that's certified. On the classified side, we have a nurse, a special ed aide, two special ed aides, an office aide, and a building aide.
And actually, so the net staff change is 29 less.
As of today.
Right.
And that if you're talking to anyone, I would be sure to clarify that.
Yeah, it changes. It can change.
Correct.
Daily.
As enrollment, people move in the summer, either direction, I mean.
Yeah.
We're probably tight in kindergarten. We're not probably tight. We are tight in kindergarten. We might have some internal shifts that could offset some of those. Edgewood could potentially be back to 5 kindergarten classes, so we're just watching that on a daily basis.
And we exempted kindergarten through 4th grade from the hiring freeze. Mm-hmm. Because we learned that the formula that we're currently under would reduce our funding if we went back to every other day kindergarten or half day kindergarten. That the current formula is fully funding kindergarten students, which is new and not what had been previously done. That previously kindergarten was funded at 50%.
Correct.
And now it's funded at 100%.
And it's still only required to be a half-time program.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if you offer it as a full-time program, you're funded at the full market.
Okay. So there's no there's no savings.
Right.
To the not significant savings to the district by making a significant change to kindergarten at this point.
Right, and we won't know those dollar figures. We know, as you know, the House version. We don't know we believed, I think, that we might get the Senate version today, but we have not. So we'll be anxiously awaiting. So the very first version was based on 2018 numbers. Then they bounced it up to 2022 numbers. Rumor has it that the Senate version will be 2020 numbers.
Yeah, there's an article I haven't read it yet, but the Senate thinks there's like they're going to do a sales tax cut. Like, there's other details. Like, it doesn't look promising. There's an article titled K-12 Education is going to drastically change in Ohio. Per the state, but the Senate version of the budget. Mm-hmm. So I have to read that when I get some time on it.
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah. Okay, so we know what our contingency plan impact is as of today.
Right.
And it was our goal to kind of hit that, at least hit that 2 million. So that gives us a little cushion. So now moving on to the next top. Oh, yeah, sure.
I need to clarify one point, just for the record.
Okay.
So we have not laid any teachers off. We have not fired any teachers.
Right.
We have not done a reduction of force. We
right.
have not. It's all been through attrition, shifting internally. That's why that transfer list is pretty long,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So younger teachers get very nervous because they know they're at the bottom of the seniority
mm-hmm.
list.
Mm-hmm.
And people in art and music get very nervous because they also know that they're not required mm-hmm. classes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. So.
I mean, at this point, you know, when we made this contingency plan, you know, I said teaming at Bunzold, we could get 8 staff members. We just needed, you know, to see how those shifted out. We have been able to shift that out. The next round, you mm-hmm. know, dependent on our next ask and success or not,
mm-hmm.
Certainly a contingency plan or reduction in force would almost be inevitable because of where we have to go to balance mm-hmm. that forecast. So
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I know what those positions are or how mm-hmm. many or anything, mm-hmm. but in my foresight, it would almost be inevitable.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Any other questions, Dan?
No, I just okay. wanted to make that
yeah, clear. I know that's an important point to make.
People
right.
have been saying
right.
that
yeah.
we
you
have
cut.
Fired.
Yes.
Yeah, we have fired people and
cut programs, things
yeah.
like that. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's not the case. Right.
As a matter of fact, we, you know, once numbers started coming in, one of my concerns was really the Japanese program
mm-hmm.
because we weren't going to have any offerings at the middle school anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So the decision was made to put that in there because our goal was not to eliminate any programming.
Mm-hmm.
And if we didn't have a middle school option, it would have demolished our high school Japanese because kids mm-hmm. wouldn't have started. They would have started in Spanish and
right.
not
stuck with that.
Not jumped over to Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a handful, but not many. So,
and we right. only have 2 foreign language options in our district, correct?
Right.
Offered person to person. Then we do mm-hmm. have some offerings that kids could take in a virtual platform.
Mm.
They have access to other options virtually.
Okay, so that would be like a Columbus?
Not with one of our teachers. So yeah. they could take something at
Columbus State
or
okay.
through Apex or through, there's a variety of online options for kids
okay.
to enroll in.
Okay.
Did you have a question?
Yeah, because I mean, I saw something from a teacher like right after Levy saying their position was cut.
Right.
And it was you answered the question, but I just want to bring it to the high
right.
point related. Those any position that's like
supplementals
were impacted.
Assistants. Yeah.
Or like high point like for like a tech, like a performance art tech.
Mm-hmm.
That's covered under like a high point contract, correct? High point, anyone who's employed by high point or that's still in place, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's all funded through High Point.
Okay, so there's
right.
no funding from our district, no matching or anything.
No.
Nope. Strictly High Point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So basically we have an agreement with High Point. I don't have that at my fingertips.
Yeah.
But they supply the teacher, and then there's a split funding model for the student. So that's how that's our agreement.
Okay.
Like a shared service agreement.
Right.
Okay.
Right. But I'm guessing that he was referring to extracurricular activity.
Yeah.
Yep. Supplemental okay. contract.
Mm-hmm. But all supplemental contracts are 1-year contracts.
Continuous. Right.
None of them are continuing. So
mm-hmm.
At the end of every year,
right.
all the supplemental contracts are non-renewed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the district makes a decision who they want to employ
mm-hmm.
in any supplemental position or whether you don't employ anybody in supplemental positions.
Right.
And as a reminder, we set those up so that even those programs, the board is still funding, mm-hmm. Contracts in that arena. So tennis coach, I don't even, you would know better than I, but we still funded positions as the assistants that went away. So they could have them paid by a booster group, mm-hmm. Or choose not to have them, or choose a split contract. Some programs are saying, okay, well, we'll take that contract and split it between three people. They can mm-hmm. do that. Obviously, they don't make as much money. Mm-hmm. They probably get pennies on the hour for the jobs they do on a supplemental anyways.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But.
Yeah. It might create a situation where the booster club doesn't need to raise as much money.
They can
could
choose,
provide yep. a little bit of a supplement mm-hmm. to the different
yes, so we still have to put the MOU in writing with the union, but the union has agreed for that purpose that we don't have to follow the negotiated agreement salary schedule. So if a booster group wants to give a $500 stipend to something that used to be $1,000, mm-hmm. then they could do that. And so the union leadership has agreed, we've agreed both verbally to do that. It's just not complete.
Okay. Good. Okay, any other questions about contingency? Okay, then. In my mind, the next step was, number one, do we want to go on in November? Do we want to wait? And what are the pros and cons of both of those moves?
Define wait.
Right now we've got a contingency plan. Depending on what state budget is, we know that we have an okay cash balance. We know that our cash balance is going to drop pretty quickly here. But if we decided to hold off until May of next year, that's one option. And, you look at November, is that, I don't know how many different issues are going to be on the November ballot. There's just different things to consider. There could be some challenges with going on in November. I think it's going to be a challenge either way. My concern is that with this contingency plan, if we hold off, then we're basically saying, everything is as it is right now, and we won't know for sure the future until next May.
I would think I would forecast there are challenges.
Yes. Yes.
Let's talk through November.
Yeah.
So let's say the referendum officially mm-hmm. gets on. I think there's some debate on if that will happen or not.
Right. Yeah. Somebody was questioning that.
Right. Mm-hmm. You have city council seats up. You have board elections up mm-hmm. For sure. So mm-hmm. that's always a challenging time, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. In superintendent 101 class, they mm-hmm. always teach you don't have a ballot on when you have board seats up, because mm-hmm. it creates a commentary mm-hmm. to that. So mm-hmm. that's one situation. As mm-hmm. you move into 2024, mm-hmm. I think you're equally challenged mm-hmm. In a presidential year,
right.
To be successful, right. So that would put you off until 2025.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, those would be general statements I would make for things that are part of that decision making.
Mm-hmm.
To your point,
mm-hmm.
then what you're saying is the changes we've made mm-hmm. would stay in place.
Right.
I think there's concerns with the ability of booster groups to. Right. maintain funding extra positions like we were talking about
mm-hmm.
And transportation mm-hmm. As well. So, and I would also be remiss, we want to remember we're also growing
right
every year by a minimum of 100 kids
mm-hmm.
And So how does that play into to that moving forward?
Right.
And the big piece is we don't know that funding piece from the state yet. I mean, that's
right.
Could be a game changer in either direction.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I guess there, I mean, so you could, like, we could decide that, yes, we want to put something on in November, but before November, if there were new kinds of information that had a significant impact, we could go ahead and say, you know what, we are going to hold off for a while.
Yes, you could. So you could even make your July, was that 29th?
27th or 8th, I believe.
decision
mm-hmm.
to go on.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say, hey, things have changed
mm-hmm.
in August, September, mm-hmm. and withdraw that as mm-hmm. well.
Okay.
So what is our cash balance policy today? Is 6 months. Correct?
Is that cash balance policy? Are you asking what our cash balance is, or are you asking
what our policy
is? Policy.
What is
the policy says expenditures can exceed revenues by more than 1%.
Right.
So we're out of compliance with that policy right now and in every year of the forecast. And then the other aspect of the policy is...
Even with the cuts in place?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. We're in the hole by $3.5 million this year.
With the cuts in place?
The cuts really didn't impact this year much.
Okay.
The cuts really... I mean, we did save some money this year with not replacing, but most of those... most of the time it's somebody that's saying, you know, without attrition, I'm resigning, which means it's effective... you know, July or August, depending on the position. So most of those cuts are impacting next year. But next year, we're even with the cuts, we would be in the hole by $4.5 million. The following year would be $9.3 million. The following year would be $12.3 million. I mean, it's a steep number. And then the other policy is the other one is basically we can't have a negative cash balance. I can't remember the exact things.
I know.
Revenues.
Our cash, let's see, in order to maintain financial effectiveness, our finances shall be managed to ensure that the projected general fund cash balances for the current year and the following four fiscal years are at least equal to 1 month of expected expenditures.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
1 month, and then that 1%, that expenditures don't exceed revenues by more than 1%.
So with that other second component, we're not meeting that in the final year of the forecast. With the cuts, we actually, even though we'd show it, we wouldn't be meeting it in the last 2 years.
What is 1 month, roughly?
About $5 to $6 million.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As I sit here, I know... Todd has told us,
mm-hmm.
and we can see mm-hmm. that there isn't any way to continue to reduce
right.
and operate.
Right.
We just run out of money.
Mm-hmm.
And the money that we need, I know some people have on Facebook made a number of suggestions about fundraisers and so forth,
mm-hmm.
but we need millions of dollars.
Right.
And the number that we need is a kind of a cumulative, if I understand it. So
yes.
if we spend more by $3 million, what we take in this year, and then $4 million the year following, and then $9 million the year after that, you begin to add, not
mm-hmm.
necessarily completely, but you begin to add all those negative numbers together. And that gives you the dollar amount that you need to balance the budget.
Mm-hmm.
So the number, with the cuts that we've made, the number that we needed has been reduced. But we can't, at this point, because we don't know what our funding is going to be for the next 2 years, we really... aren't at this point able to decide that we need $30 million,
right.
we need $40 million, we need something larger. We were at 50, when we started the discussion on this, it was $56 million, and we've been able to make some reductions, but it's still a very large amount of money that we're going to need to be able to balance the budget. And we've discussed, you know, a two-year levy or a three-year levy, a smaller amount, but all that does is postpone, at least in my mind, that just postpones another levy quicker. And for still a significant amount of money. So
A few, quite along those lines, so a few things that would be helpful today to maybe, you know, get some opinions on is, I didn't go through the futility of creating simulations because I could come up with 40 different ways to look at this thing. So one would be, if we are going forward, are we going to replace the cuts, or are we going to leave the cuts in place?
Right.
I mean, that's a big change in the forecast. That's over $2 million. So when I do simulations, am I assuming that, you know, we want those back, so we're going to include in a simulation that those cuts are coming back or not?
Right.
Obviously, the state funding. But then the other big piece of that is, do we assume that when I do a simulation and we're plugging in a number or a cut or whatever the case would be, are we making it so that, at least in my opinion, the cash balance throughout the forecast is positive?
Mm-hmm.
Or we could say, well, you know, we want to give us a one-year levy. You know, you could do whatever you wanted, but in my opinion, then doing a one or two-year levy would be ridiculous. I would think you would at least want the forecast to be positive throughout, but we can, you could do whatever. But so those are some of the variables that would be helpful to maybe land on tonight, so that when we have our next board meeting, I could maybe bring some simulations that would, you know, be a little firmer based on some assumptions.
Right.
Well, I'm assuming that the cuts are going to increase class sizes.
Yes.
And that is, in my opinion, detrimental to student success down the road. So we definitely don't want to continue those cuts for any longer than we absolutely have to.
I second that, too. And I think even for the morale of our staff, too, and because, as we all know, that turnover in staff is a huge detriment for our kids as well. I mean, you know, we bring in some great teachers and everything, but in a normal year, you don't want to be losing them because they're not feeling appreciated, or they're feeling overworked, or, you know, like not supported, I guess.
Well, you don't want to lose them.
Exactly. Right.
No matter what the reason.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And a lot of the cuts and increases in class size fall on kids that are in the most need. Tri-Academy. Didn't deal with a large number of kids, but it was a critical program for those kids, and being able to continue to offer a Tri-Academy program requires staff. I don't think there's any way around it. We're going to, as a district, see more and more kids that have special needs, and we have to pay for that. And so, as I look at it, if we are required by law to divert more and more funds into the special needs area, then the students that are not classified as special ed, as a group, they see their opportunities and their programs and so forth impacted in some way. It may be larger class sizes, or it could be program reductions. Because if we can't increase class, it bothers me that we have a computer tech program.
Right. Oh, yeah.
That's
very, is a really popular class.
Yeah.
I know.
And there are opinions all over the place on extracurriculars, but I know that extracurriculars are very important to large numbers of our students. When you think about extracurriculars, we have, and I don't know if we have a number of kids that are participating in athletics and a number that are participating in swing choir and band and the theater and so forth, but I would think that we're probably somewhere over 50% are involved in at least some extracurricular of some kind. And just a guess on my part. But that to me, I've seen the impact of cuts in those areas, the loss of a director, the loss of somebody that has been with the program for a long time. Mm-hmm. And this goes back an awful long way. But we had a speech and debate program that was recognized nationally. And the individual that ran that program retired. And the district tried to keep it going, but it collapsed after about 3 years. Mm-hmm. And there have been other programs that have come and gone. That one was really significant, maybe the first, and that's why it sticks in my mind. But I think as we look at this, we need to think about trying to get to the point where we're offering the type of education and the kinds of opportunities that the children in our community deserve.
Mm-hmm. And to your point, I would say one thing that I received today, and I tried to count real quick before I came in, but 30 students have enrolled just this summer that are potential new EL students. Mm-hmm. So we already added EL stuff last year, mm-hmm. but we're going to get to a capacity point again.
Right.
And that's English as a second language?
Yeah.
Right.
Good.
Right.
English learners. Isn't
that English.
Yes.
English learners.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all English learners,
some more than others, right?
Learners, I guess it was at one point.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
I'm sorry, Jermaine. I think I interrupted you.
Yeah.
I never considered that there was a question about going on the ballot in November. I thought it was absolutely we were going on the ballot in November because we need to go and secure funding as quickly as possible. Can you walk me through the worst of the worst? We go in November, and that is a failed attempt. Our cuts, is the current contingency plan in place for the whole entire school year, and you go back on May, or how does that look like?
So I'm going to give
you... I know it's a huge hypothetical, but...
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm going to give you kind of an opinionated answer.
Okay.
I think there's more at risk in May than just programming. I think that the culture of our district is at risk. A failed levy will be hard for staff to overcome.
Did she say May or November? Sorry.
I said May. I meant
yes.
November.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that. Yes. Okay.
So,
yeah.
I would caveat, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
were in the buildings in May.
Right.
There's a little gloom hanging over.
Right.
It's hard not to take it personally, I guess, when you're a staff member, right? So that is one of my angst points. Mm-hmm. The cuts we've made now remain in effect until the end of the year. Mm-hmm. You go on in November. If you were to fail, you'd have the opportunity to go on in May. Mm-hmm. My gut would be that we'd lose a significant amount of staff in that time.
Yes.
Just even based on our experience
right now
this spring.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be cognizant of that just because of teacher shortages right now across the board. I mean, our own buildings are competing for the same one intervention candidate. So that's the challenge. If you did not pass in May, there would have to be some contingency in place, and then you would have the opportunity to go in November again.
November
to
May.
Is that what I said?
No.
Sorry. Sorry. I don't know my months, but
so,
May.
No, you went through the whole count.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
The whole count.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And the request in November, if that didn't pass, in May, I keep seeing the amount actually starting to grow,
mm-hmm.
because with growth, even if you're trying to maintain cuts and to be able to, I mean, if you start reaching over 35 in the upper grades, 30, 28 in the lower grades, mm-hmm. You're going to need to add people. And so our expenses are going to continue to rise,
mm-hmm.
even as we try to reduce the expenses, mm-hmm. as much as we can. As we look at this, I think sometimes school finance is horrible, but I keep trying to remind myself that people are complaining about growth and all this growth is causing schools to have to hire more people. But the only way to capture the value of that growth and use that value to help fund the schools is to pass levy.
Mm-hmm.
We're still...
Right.
I mean, it's
we're
been
collecting.
It's
we're
been
collecting at that. Yeah. Right.
It's been 15 years since we passed a new levy.
Right.
So we have 15 years
mm-hmm.
of growth
mm-hmm.
that we haven't captured at this point, and people are looking at and saying, "We've got this explosion of growth." Well, the only way to capture that growth and make that growth pay for the operation of the school will be to pass a levy of some magnitude.
But back to the question, do we go into November? I think that's it has to be a yes. I mean, there's going to be I understand the concern from your perspective, but I also sense that there will be a complete political messaging problem if we don't go into November.
Yeah, I think one of the things we have to be, I'm not saying go on November or not. I'm just trying to be honest with my feedback. I would feel like I wasn't representing everyone very well if I didn't say those things.
Mm-hmm.
I think one significant factor is what is our budget going to look like going into next year?
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, how does that play out? You know, if mm-hmm. it's the 3.2, you know, then, you know, you're talking about potentially being able to drop that millage ask or mm-hmm. income tax or all the things that have been kind of thrown mm-hmm. out there, which might make it, you know, better or more attractive.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have to, part of it is, quite frankly, strategy. We have to be cognizant of what's on the ballot when we are too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the reality.
Mm-hmm.
From a financial standpoint, when the state budget's approved, do you have enough time to realistically understand the numbers and then present an ask? I mean, I know the calendar says you have enough time, but is it
realistically, right?
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. it is, no problem.
Okay. Yeah.
But the question is still, what's on the ballot in November?
Right. Yeah. I know. And because I feel like I lean towards putting something on in November too, because I feel like if we hold off and, you know, let's say if we hold off till next May, then that's another full year before any new money would come in. But it's, you know, you go on in November and. That's critical, you know. I mean, because I agree. It's if it wouldn't pass, then if I were a teacher, I would be looking for some other place. And there's plenty of places looking for teachers, you know. So we're
your point of wait. I mean, there's no right or wrong answer here, but the idea of waiting. So a couple points there. One, the idea of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
If we say we're bringing back the cuts,
mm-hmm.
well, that puts a pretty big dent in the idea of waiting. Mm-hmm. Obviously, so because mm-hmm. right now this forecast has $2 million of cuts in it. If we're saying we're bringing those cuts back,
right, it goes back in.
Makes it pretty difficult to wait. Not saying it's impossible, mm-hmm. but that puts a dent in that idea. Then the other aspect would be just if you're just kind of looking dollar for dollar and you're looking at the 5-year forecast and you say, well, if we pass an X mill levy in November, mm-hmm. we have this balance in November or in fiscal year 27 is the last year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's say we're shooting for a $2 million cash balance in fiscal year 27. Mm-hmm. Well, if we say we're not going to go in November, we're going to wait until the next year, mm-hmm. To get that same $2 million yeah. cash balance, you're probably going to have to pass an additional 2 mills mm-hmm. Around that number. I mean, things right. will vary mm-hmm. based on other variables, mm-hmm. but probably around 2 mills extra to get that same number.
Right.
Well, the dollar amount we need to balance the budget doesn't change.
Right.
The amount of time we have to collect that money does.
Right. Although I will say there are some unknown factors out there, I mean, there's
an oversimplified
right.
world. So,
right. Right. Because I do know, you've always been very close on your budgets. You've never been lower, you know, and so I would anticipate that trend would continue, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, so over the years, there have been additional revenue streams, whether it's grants that have offset some of our operating expenses, things like that. And in my mind, that's kind of that next conversation about if and when we go on, what's our ask going to be, you know, because I think it's a combination of what balances the budget and what we hear from our community members. And that's what we're actively trying to hear what they, you know, what their concerns were. And as I'm out there and I see people, you know, I talk to them, like, you know, you can tweak it, make it a little lower, you know, and I said, well, just, you need to understand, if we make it lower, there's a good chance we'll be on sooner. And, you know, then when you go on for another new money, and 2 years later, you've got a renewal, people don't remember mm-hmm. that you did that for a reason, you know, mm-hmm. that you asked us for, you wanted a lower one, we gave you a lower one, but now we've got to come back, you know, because it doesn't last right. very long. So it's that that really challenging communication piece that yeah. the majority of people don't understand school funding, and it's understandable that they don't understand it, you know.
And to that point, yeah. For anybody that's listening,
yes.
Uh-huh. What we're talking about is our operations
right.
budget,
right.
which is 90% teachers mm-hmm. and staff. Mm-hmm. This is not about buildings. It's
right.
not about facilities.
Right.
It's not about school buses. It's not about any of those things, because
right.
those are all in separate budgets. Mm-hmm. This is, and we're sitting here talking about classes and class sizes,
programs,
and teachers, mm-hmm. and, you know, reductions in staff. That's what this money would go for, mm-hmm. is to pay teachers and to be able to operate the schools and give kids a great opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk, I know we've discussed income tax, and when it comes to the timeline of when do we ask, mm-hmm. what is the timeline of an income tax ask? If it's passed, the collection timeline, what can you just walk through? Mm-hmm.
I would say if we wanted to go for an income tax, I would say November is our only option, because when the collections start, you compare an income tax to a property tax, you know, it's almost like you have a full year of almost no collections, whereas mm-hmm. that property tax, you get full collection immediately.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So... And again, state funding will have a big impact on mm-hmm. what that looks like, you know, or what mm-hmm. percentage could look like. But again, if an income tax were something we wanted to do, I would say November would be our only option.
And
if
so
we waited, it would push it out.
What for an earned income tax, is it a 5-year? What's the term of the ask?
That's up to the board to decide. You could do a continuing. You could do a certain term. You know,
so, like, it's continuing, is there a limit? Like, is it 20 years or?
Continuing is continuing.
Forever. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What would it take?
Again, it really depends on a lot of variables. You know, mm-hmm. if I look at our current forecast, I can, you know, move numbers around based on What are we doing with the cut, you know, the contingency mm-hmm. plan, and what happens with state funding? I could create scenarios where maybe 0.5% to 0.75%, you know, would probably be, I guess, the most likely scenarios. Uh-huh. Now, you know, again, that state funding piece is going to have to come in good for
right.
the 0.5% to look good.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Is, are there,
and if you're bringing back the
right the cuts,
you know, all of those, we are messing around with numbers today. So if you're bringing yeah. back cuts, and,
well,
right,
you know,
I mean, we're not going to bring back cuts if we don't pass something,
right?
Right.
Oh, right, right.
So
right.
We base that on the fact that it's going to pass, and
mm-hmm. right. It's for the income tax. Do you have an option between earned income and just total income?
Yes.
You do, okay.
You could do what's called traditional,
okay,
which is then going to be all income, or you
so
can do
dividend
income.
Income, interest income, capital gain income.
I have
not
to
sure about that. Okay, okay, the dividend and interest for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now,
okay.
An income
pensions,
tax. Whatever, yeah. Do businesses and corporations pay an income tax?
No.
And so there would be. I know a lot of people that have asked about income tax have said they want everybody to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always run into this kind of stumbling
mm-hmm.
block.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be everybody that either has an income or has an earned income. But it's not everybody that's earning money
right.
in our school district, because
right.
it the earned income would... That wouldn't apply to people that work in our school district but live someplace
correct.
Else. Okay. Which for us, for the city,
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, they
where
collect
you earn
income tax
income, yes.
where people work
uh-huh.
and also where they live.
Mm-hmm.
We only get to collect the income tax
where they
people
live.
So
right.
they're, you know, when you think about income tax, mm-hmm. you know, not everybody in our school district has an income.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody lives on property or works on property or has a business on property.
Mm-hmm.
And so then there are advantages
right.
both ways. But when you, from my perspective, you tax property. And it may be difficult, but when you tax the property, more people are included in that number. More things will pay in. Than
yeah, but
income.
When you're talking to the people,
yeah, and
they don't feel that way.
And I understand all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But when the levy failed, I talked to one taxpayer who lives in our district, and she said, "Well, gee, you know, I really think." You know, it didn't pass because the people that rent wouldn't have to pay. And it was like, well, they do. Because mm-hmm. everybody would pay directly or indirectly. They would pay their property tax through their rent because the person that owns the building is going to pay their property tax on the value of that building. So, but...
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of things that I don't understand. There's a lot of things that people in our community don't understand, and so that's why I think these discussions are important.
So can I clarify, what are the two types of income tax? There's the traditional
and earned income only.
Okay. And which ones exempt Social Security and...
Earned income.
I personally like the idea of an earned income tax. One, because I think it diversifies a revenue stream. We're going to have, you know, there's going to be a bond issue eventually that's going to, it may not be a new ask, new money ask. It may just be.
Right, the other ones retire, yeah.
We're going to ask for that to build a new building in the next 10 years. That's going to happen. There's going to be other entities asking for property tax in November. So the Board of Developmental Disabilities asking for continuing 2.4, I believe is the number of mills. So there's going to be other entities that are going to also ask for property taxes in the next 5 years. this would diversify. Our community has seen a rising median household income go up. As we deal with inflation or deal with just growth, the more money people make, that 0.75 or 0.5, you know, you're going to, if you make more money, you'll collect more revenue. The vice versa could be true. If there's a Honda or some major employer, we're going to see a hit on property and on income. But I feel that when you look at who votes in our elections, there is a maybe somehow we that concern about my property taxes are just keep jumping and jumping, I'm getting priced out. I believe that's not going away. With the type of developments that we see a lot of developments that are kind of retirement focused, and in a way that they say, well, no kids are entering the schools, but that's also a risk and a danger, because from the city perspective, EMS costs go up, and then you have voters that are entering the community that may not be inclined to support a school levy because they're not directly connected and they're on fixed or retirement. So that's kind of, if I didn't hear it from people, I wouldn't maybe be advocating for that. I am hearing from a lot of people. There's a risk that people are just saying, well, wasn't an option. It's like, you know, my kids, if we're only serving chocolate chip cookies and they want ice cream, they're asking for the ice cream instead of the chocolate chip cookies. It's a possibility that's the case. Mm-hmm. But I do like the idea of diversifying and having something that can bring in more revenue as wages increase, which if wages increase in the private sector, I'm guessing our wages as a school district are going to still increase as well to retain our staff. So that's why I personally like it. The reason why I'm asking that question is because if November is the time, how do we get feedback from community that's an option they will buy in is the next step. Mm-hmm. Because whenever we go in November, to Diane's point, we have to have support from the community. Mm-hmm.
It pretty much has to pass.
Right.
And so we have to pretty much, in the next, it's hard, but the next month or so, mm-hmm. figure out what can the community support. Second question I have, and I know you've asked, are we keeping the cuts or not? I think from my perspective, we've never put a contingency plan in place with the idea of this is how we want to run the district. I think when we talked about it, it was to get us to November or mm-hmm. originally to get us through until we passed the levy. You did mention the five-year forecast has those cuts ran through, and so the numbers are going to look different. But mm-hmm. it's going to be, instead of 14, it's going to be closer to 17, or
it'll be more than that.
It'll be more than 17.
If I take the cuts out of the forecast, meaning we're bringing people back, that deficit goes from negative 15 million to negative 20-some million.
20-some million, okay. My question, though, is I'm a little hesitant to do this, but can you do a property tax and an income tax ask on the same ballot?
Yeah, you technically can do a combination levy where you would have an income tax and a property tax. I would recommend against it just because we're at 20.17 mils. Okay, so that means we're this close to hitting the 20 mil floor. So what that means would be, and it's not saying we couldn't do it, and it would have a short-term benefit to doing it, but there would be no long-term benefit because let's say we did a 0.5% and a 2 mil levy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, once we hit the 20 mil floor, you know, our revenues will go up with inflation. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if that 2 mils, you know, generates $2 million, well, eventually we're going to that as our values go up. That 2 mils is going to go away. So if we're at 22 mils, mm-hmm. next reappraisal, we're probably right back down to the 20 mil floor. So after 3 years, we're actually generating the same amount of revenue, whether that levy passed or not.
Can I ask a follow-up? Does earned income tax impact the millage floor?
Nope. That's a benefit of the income tax. Okay.
And does it affect state funding for you?
Yes, it would. Well, let me think about that. It's going to show up as our part of our local capacity. So yeah, it's going to impact just the same as
Isn't that there anyway?
Yes.
So if our local capacity is hurting us and we're not taxing it, that's a double hit.
Well, whether we pass an income tax or a property tax or not is not going to impact the funding we receive from the state.
Yeah.
The Fair Funding Plan utilizes both property and income in order to determine the capacity.
So it's not the amount of millage we have, it's the valuation we have, it's the income we have, not what we're taxed.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, I mean, there's... we need a levy to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not as concerned about which way as making sure that we can get something agreeable to the community. And I know that every time I hear income tax, I also think about the city not having reciprocity with mm-hmm. Columbus. And so if you're paying 1%, to Marysville, 1.5% now mm-hmm. to Marysville, and you're paying 2% to Columbus, mm-hmm. And you then go and you add another 0.75% or so mm-hmm. on top of that. I know that there are people in our community, we have heard earlier, mm-hmm. that said, I don't want an income tax.
But I... question that they said they wanted a property tax too, because looking at the report that Jermaine ran for us today, the 65 or 56 and older outvoted the 26 to 55.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And between 18 and 25, there's only 505 votes. So that's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we can't count those because they might be in college or away. I mean, like, we don't know if we can't predict those votes.
Yeah.
Yeah. To your point, I mean, we split those numbers out a little bit differently, mm-hmm. but 1,415 people were in their 50s, 1,453 were in their 60s, 1,033 were in their 70s, and 400 people were 80 and beyond. Mm-hmm. So, definitely they gave us the feedback that they wanted property, the examples that we talked to in focus groups.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, thought that that was cheaper based on their household income, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we, the senior citizens group feedback that we met with was specifically they didn't believe that it wouldn't count in their pension. So what is very clear to me is there's going to be a high lift of education when we do an income, quite simply just because people are kind of used to us doing a property.
Mm-hmm.
We heard that's what we understand,
mm-hmm.
that's what we trust, that's what you've always done, don't change.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we have no problem educating people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not the issue. So mm-hmm. That part, I think, we've heard from several other school districts that have income tax is the biggest challenge is the education mm-hmm. side of it
mm-hmm.
to make sure that your message,
Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, if we don't change something drastically, mm-hmm. we're just running another,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think we're going to be wasting a lot of money trying to sell mm-hmm. that property tax. And I don't know why there wasn't voices out there ahead of time before, but since levy, you know, I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people, and they're almost like, if you still want to talk property tax, we're going to talk, because
mm-hmm.
I'm still going to be voting no for it.
Mm-hmm.
And these are people I didn't think would vote no.
Mm-hmm.
So to Jermaine's point, the school district cannot do a survey that specifically asks, you know, will you support an income tax? Will you support that is not considered worthy of we can't use taxpayer dollars for that.
Mm-hmm.
So the community committee
mm-hmm.
is planning to do a survey you know, and they're looking for feedback from the board. If there is an intention to go November,
right.
That survey will go out and be done in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But they haven't contracted.
Right.
It's over $20,000 to do. Mm-hmm. So,
and again, that's the committee. The committee is spending that, not
yes,
not the school district, right? Okay, yeah.
But right.
It's not right. Cheap.
And right. So that idea then would be to ask questions specifically to, you know, what you could support and ask, as well as, you know, what's valuable to you as in a reduction phase, you know, what things will bring you to the polls to support that. So that will
right. So that's why it's really important tonight. That's really the purpose of this meeting, is again to say, do we feel comfortable going on in November? Mm-hmm. Do we want a delay?
So I don't believe that the economy is drastically going to change from now between November. Mm-hmm. And I think that asking for another property tax is going to be a waste of time, because so many people are pushed to the limit at now. Just reevaluation, maybe bought more house mm-hmm. than...
Right. Forced to okay. buy money, you know,
okay.
some people, yeah.
So,
right.
bought a lot of house, they have a big mortgage. Mm-hmm. Mortgage increase, not only that, but, you know, your insurance is increasing. You know, mortgage, taxes, insurance, food, going to the grocery store is frankly crazy right now. Utilities, AEP is jumping everybody's bill by 28% this week. Okay, so... you know, my mom lives in a retirement community mm-hmm. here in town. They cannot take property tax. I've, you know, done mini survey among her neighbors, mm-hmm. and there's a very strong feelings about they can't take any new taxes now.
So do you think they, and this is just me sitting here thinking, when you rattle off, I totally agree with what you're saying, things aren't going to get cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the the response to an income would be different?
Yes, I mean, earned income, because most of these people are dependent on Social Security and what I'm going to term smaller to midland pensions. Okay, not giant pensions, but I think earned income. If we could find a way to neutralize that voter base, they're all not going to be a yes, okay? But they're all not going to be a no like they were.
But we know that no matter what, even if we're not on the ballot, they're going to be voting in November.
That, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the voter turnout.
There's enough questions to bring
yeah.
up.
And there will be a larger right. voter turnout this right. time than
right.
May.
Right. Mm-hmm. So do we have general consensus that November, that we will need to put something on in November?
Absolutely.
And then use information that we, you know, will
yeah.
will
and
hear
that,
something.
I don't think it's not going to be easy.
No.
No matter what.
No.
And it's just... I just keep looking at it, and it's the sooner the community supports something
mm-hmm.
to fund our schools, the less expensive it will be
right.
in the long run.
Right.
And so if we wait, and I
yes.
know I'm not disagreeing with
yeah,
Superintendent
I just think
101.
I just think we need to be cognizant of
yes.
the challenges
I understand
in front of us.
I know.
And I know, you know, teachers... during the pandemic, they worked their tails off. People in the community were calling them heroes and giving them all sorts of praise for
uh-huh.
going the extra mile and
uh-huh.
doing everything that they were doing. And now we need money to pay these people. And that's, you know, and that's where this issue, whether it's a property tax or an income tax, this is operations, and that's paying teacher salaries by and large. And I think we have to give people the opportunity to decide what sort of community they want, what sort of school district they want. And, you know, in a large measure, maybe that's the question that they will answer for us.
And I do feel like people, like right now, the conversation is fresh on people's minds. I mean, you walk around uptown, stop in different stores, and, you know, people are more than willing to share their thoughts about the levy. Yeah, I went to the dentist today, and, you know, my dental hygienist was just like, she couldn't understand why people wouldn't support it. She goes, our kids need a great education. Yeah. They need a lot of opportunities, and they need the support of our community, and we need to pull together, you know. But yeah. But it's, you know, you stop in another store, and you hear a different story. So it's, yeah. I think it's just really important that we continue to listen and give people a chance to share their thoughts. And really, I think, you know, when you talk about that income tax, I hope people do understand what that means, because we've heard different people make comments about it, and then in the conversation you realize that they don't really understand how it works, yeah. you know. And so just that idea that you live here, you work in Columbus, you pay 1.5% plus 2%, and now, you know, now your total local income tax plus school district is probably more than your state income tax percentage-wise, because state income tax is, you know, maybe around that 4%, depending on, you know, your income level or something, but just that reality, you know. So I think, again, it kind of goes back to education. And
you know, I think you still need to explore a property tax ask. Mm-hmm. I mean, I also don't think we should not go down that path before July, whenever we make a decision. Mm-hmm. We still need to go through the diligence of what that ask is, because 8.4 mils or 5 could bring some positive voters. Or
it can switch.
It can switch.
Sure. Right.
Just going down, if it's possible, too.
Right.
But I personally like diversifying the revenue stream and something that's going to be inflationary proof. I like that aspect of it. I think people who are in the age that can are in the working group have probably kids in school. And, you know, I think what happens is they got a tax bill and then they got a levy. Like, that's what, you know, right there, top of mind. I think the numbers... The workforce, I know I talked to a person who works in Columbus, but when he works from home, he now gets a credit for the time that he works in, it's not Columbus, but a suburb of Columbus.
Yeah.
So he doesn't pay, or if they get full credit, some get full credit. So there's some flexibility with how work is now.
Right. We'll see if legislation changes that at some point.
That would be up to the city. But to extend...
No, I'm saying that... Yeah, our city's not going to do it. But other municipalities are.
Sure.
I'm saying...
Yeah.
I'm not being joking.
Right.
They're not going to do it.
Right.
I've fought that issue before.
Right.
And I understand why. But what I'm saying is that there are some flexibility. And honestly, those people are going to be released. I talk to a lot of parents who are like, yeah, I don't really want to pay it, but my kids are in school. I'm not going to vote against my kids. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be the same sentiment. They're going to vote, and then we'll flip some other demographic voters, is my assumption. I hope is right.
There's no easy way. There are advantages. I see advantages and disadvantages to either one. And the research that we did before we came up with our approach this year said that on the issue of taxes, that our community was split basically 50-50, property tax and income tax. And,
and then you kind of go to the statistics of passage rates and things like that, you know, and you try and make your most educated,
and everybody
not guess,
in the community
but, you know,
has
plan.
To look at their own situation.
Right.
I know... When reevaluations were up 24-25%, we learned that didn't equate to an equal percentage increase in terms of your property taxes, that the increase was more in the 4-4.5% range, something in that situation. We tried to educate people.
Right.
And we didn't get enough people educated.
Right.
And if we choose the same path or a different path, we're still have to do the job of education. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, so we're looking at November, and for your direction, contingency plan is short term, only until we pass a levy.
So I can then, whenever, once the state budget comes out, and
yes,
just, I think that needs to happen before we probably mm-hmm. can have any real in-depth conversations with
right.
actual numbers attached to it. I can create some simulations and say, you know, here's what a property tax levy would look like mm-hmm. with are these new state funding numbers, and mm-hmm. here's what some potential income tax numbers would look like. So that would give you a little something to chew on.
Yeah.
Okay. And we are we're looking at, our July meeting is July, our regular meeting is the 20th. I think right now we potentially have July 17th. As a special meeting date, earlier than that, like we had talked about July 5th or 6th, but that's too soon after the state budget, and then we've got some vacation issues in between there. So I think the final deadline to get something to Andrea is like the 28th or 29th. So if we needed to throw in something after the 20th. You know, I mean, because I know this is a big decision, so if we need more conversation, that's another potential after the 20th. Because I know we had originally talked about maybe the 17th and the 19th and the 20th, but the 19th is out. So I know. I know. It's like it's not something we don't want to rush it, or maybe just plan on the 17th if we need to be here for like 5 hours mm-hmm. and be here for 5 hours and just crunch things out, whatever. Yeah. But in the meantime,
questions you have once the
yes.
state, but that, I think that's the part for me that
yes.
I can't. It's really hard to just say, hey,
right.
we're gonna
right
we're,
if it's like yeah,
in
3 million
theory,
or
I
2 million or
what,
I mean, it's
November,
big.
But
right.
really providing the context around that
yes.
is difficult.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. Like when those numbers can be available, like I would mm-hmm. like to go talk to people before we.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
Like,
right.
Like, you know, here's some options. What you know, I don't mm-hmm. know how we can do that. But
well, I mean, I think right now we can't make any informed decisions off of the
right.
House budget. But
right.
I feel like once we've got a House version and a Senate version, mm-hmm. we could at least make some best
assumptions.
Guess
right.
assumptions. Where if the House is saying plus 3 million. Senate says plus 1.5. Well,
mm-hmm.
at least we're at it. Now, if the Senate comes back and says zero, then then we're probably just flying in the dark again. You know what I mean? But if,
right.
if the Senate and the House are at least somewhere in the same ballpark, then we can make some at least, you know, assumptions that are
right.
You know, might be close to reality.
And once you have a couple different scenarios, you know, and send them out to the board. We can be looking those over before July 17th, and if we, you know, a couple of us want to come in and meet with Todd and go over things, then you know, by all means, let's do that. And like you said, continue talking to people out in the community. You know, just try and get them to understand, and you know, because again, that whole idea of lowering it significantly. And the result meaning that we have to be back out there every couple of years. I mean, I just think people need to understand. That you know, I don't think you really want to be there.
The number one feedback when
yes.
I came in the door.
Yes.
I understand that's been 11 years ago.
Right.
But there was levy after levy after levy renewal, and the perception was that they were on it. You're
right.
always in front of us asking for money.
Right.
And really, the district was not. It just
right.
had a bunch of renewable levies. So you
right.
were on. So the goal was, the feedback from the community at that time was, get rid of them. When you come to us, you know, make sure it's a serious ask.
Mm-hmm.
And so really that we did. We've changed all those renewable levies to continuing, kind of worked that plan
right.
And communicated on the last one. We'd be back in 2022, 2023.
Mm-hmm.
So if it is, hey, go for smaller,
we'll be coming to see you more often, you
right.
know. And I think maybe it's like sometimes, so often in life, you kind of go to these extremes. So we were on all the time before, and now haven't been on since, well, we had the renewal
18.
In 2018, you know.
Yeah.
So that's only 5 years, but it feels like forever, really. You
well,
know?
COVID's in there, made everything
yes.
feel like forever in my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and if renewals don't pass,
that's huge.
It's horrible. I mean, it's not like a new money ask.
It's, right. It's existing budget.
It's existing. Yeah. And you can retroactively cut, but that's almost what you have to do.
Right.
One of the things having teaching in the school district during that time was that the district had multiple uncertainties because you always had levies that were up for renewal. You also had the state budget that was only good for 2 years, and so you couldn't forecast with any degree of certainty because your 5-year forecast could have three different renewals and two different state budgets.
Wouldn't you like that, Todd?
It's just a recognition that it is a distractor from our key work that looms over everyone when you continually have ballot issues on. It's challenging for staff members. And for all of us.
And the staff will definitely look. I know every time I change jobs very often, but I always looked at the financial stability of the district at the time.
Right.
Because you didn't want to take a job and then end up having to move again, in a short period of time. And fortunately, that never happened to me. But.
Well, and we have people leaving the profession, too.
Right.
So I think that's just all part of, kind of where we are, things to think about. It's been difficult for recruitment and et cetera. So just the workforce issue.
So one thing that I wanted to talk about was our cash balance, because there's been a lot of talk down at the State House and a lot of criticism levied at school districts because some members of the House feel that districts are carrying too big of cash balances. Well,
so is the problem.
This is a perfect reason why.
Right.
When you have to go to your communities. Yeah.
I just wanted to point out that, that's called good money management.
Right.
Okay, especially when you're dealing with so many
uncertainties.
And, for someone to say that we need to spend down to $0 before we ask for money is a very poor money manager.
Right.
So, that's not certainly not how I handle my personal finances. I would suspect that that's not how any of us hold.
Yep. I mean, they generally tell you should have 6 months on hand.
Right.
And we've been fortunate here. We've been in that. We've been in a very comfortable spot for a while, But we've reached that point. It's not, we're not going to be there anymore.
Yeah. And it's beneficial to the taxpayer for us to do that. It maintains stability in a district, but it also allows the district to reduce the need for ask by being able to use that money effectively and not have let that money finance some of the works of the school district. So I think that's a key point that the public needs to understand.
And in the Senate, there's even more conversation than there was in the House about that. Some of the COVID relief bounced up the amount of money that people had in the bank. And I know that I've tried to communicate to our senator and our representative that money was spent for what it was supposed to be, as it was supposed to be spent, that we used it for reteaching opportunities in the summer, enrichment opportunities for kids that needed that, and that you know, I think it's important for our community to recognize that even though we have money in the bank, we're going to spend $3 million more this year than what we took in. Mm-hmm. And next year, we're going to spend $4 million, even maintaining the cuts that we have, we're going to spend $4 million more than what we take in. Mm-hmm. And that cushion that we have dissipates pretty quickly in those scenarios. You know, we've carried $30 million or so, but when you're spending $5 or $6 million, that puts us, as you said, right at that 6 month, 5 month
right.
Cushion that we uh-huh. have in order to be able to operate. I mean, anything below $6 million would be less than 1 month's
right.
expenses.
And we were there. We were there back when mm-hmm. we first came. I know. It was scary. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The only other thing mm-hmm. That I would like to bring up is there has been some conversation with the city mm-hmm. that there was a meeting that Bill and Todd and I attended mm-hmm. An interest to bring both entities to a public meeting. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering about potential dates. Mm-hmm. An interest to do so, I think. Mm-hmm. So dates that have kind of been put out there are Thursday the 22nd or Thursday the 29th.
June. Yep.
Potentially even a day meeting if people are available. And so just throwing it out there to see availability, interest.
Mm-hmm. I'm available both those dates.
Okay. Day so and evening?
Mm-hmm. At any time.
Okay.
What's me
the,
too.
What's okay. the date again?
22nd and 29th, Thursdays.
Which mm-hmm. date do you guys prefer? Because if it's a day meeting, I'll just need to take off. I have time to take off. I'm willing to do it. I'll just
okay.
take off.
Is there one day of those that I feel like I could say, hey, we'll
this is my ask. The 29th is my birthday, so
okay, do the 22nd.
Yeah,
get all of us singing happy birthday to you.
And we have to sit with party hats on at the meeting, you know.
Yeah,
pin the tail on the donkey.
I mean, it you know, as we venture down the path and set up an agenda, I would project mm-hmm. that we will have a mediator at the meeting. Mm-hmm. And I would project that probably our first priority would be have discussion on the potential of a TIF if, in fact, it were property tax. I think that's another thing that could inform your thinking and could potentially lower the ask mm-hmm. for the citizens.
Right.
And talking through that conversation. So there are other things to discuss, but I think that would certainly be, yeah. or I have represented that as a priority to the
right.
board.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, and we've heard those conversations out in the community as well. I know Jermaine yes. and I were at a meeting and we heard a lot of questions in that arena. So I think that would be a great conversation to have.
All right. With the
22nd.
Trying to disparage your birthday.
No, that's fine.
But would the 22nd work so that we can have that discussion that gives some time for follow-up to take mm-hmm. place?
Mm-hmm.
The state budget has to be done the end of the next week.
Right.
Location would be a neutral location. So once I have a date, Terry and I would look to secure a neutral right. site.
We may aim for the 22nd, but that may not be, I don't know if that'll be available for the rest, but.
Mm-hmm. Is it the 22nd?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I'm good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And is the day okay on the 22nd? And if they can't do the day, mm-hmm. we'll do the evening.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I will let you know. I'm supposed to call Terry tomorrow, so
okay.
we'll do that tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll get
turned. You want to know
when it's confirmed?
That way
I'll
yep.
I think
that,
you
right.
might have some people that are in the same boat, so that's why I'll just say we prefer to meet the 22nd.
Yeah.
For, you know, we can mm-hmm. do day or yeah. evening.
Like, no, I think daytime would be better for everyone's mental and mm-hmm. attention mm-hmm. and all that.
Right.
You have more time to do it.
Right. Right.
Okay. I will work on that and be in touch.
Okay. Great. Good. Then we'll have potentially have a lot of information to take with us for future meetings. Okay. Any other comments?
I just sure. have one comment. Okay. I've received a few calls, mm-hmm. like people legitimately have reached out to me about tomorrow's community conversation. So I just mm-hmm. wanted to, mm-hmm. if anyone has filled those questions too, mm-hmm. We posted, we're at the Dalton Winery, mm-hmm. and some have raised concerns, members of the community who said, hey, they're not supporting the levy. Why are you meeting there? Mm-hmm. And just in case you're receiving that, mm-hmm. I posted last month's community conversation. Mm-hmm. The owner wanted to attend but could not meet that. Mm-hmm. And so I said, I offered saying we can set up a different one and we can even come to you. Mm-hmm. We can hold it out there. Not because they're interested in engaging a conversation. And so I thought mm-hmm. it made perfect sense. Mm-hmm. But I'm only telling you guys because I don't know if anyone else has heard anything, but people are reaching
yes,
out to me.
Yep, I have heard. Yep, I have heard. I've heard a comment. Yeah,
that I just tell them, hey, why not go to them and they help or bring people there, and we're gonna. I think Neil and I are gonna be there tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's my understanding, and we'll just engage in the conversation and hear from them, just like with Sue. We met with other members of the community. So if you're hearing that, that's how that happened. That's how it worked out, and I don't mm-hmm. think it's a negative thing. I think it's. We serve the community. Mm-hmm. No matter what views they hold, we're going to go mm-hmm. and bring the community problem to them and say, how can we solve this? That's mm-hmm. my so.
Okay. Thank you for that. Any other questions or comments? I accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Keck, second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.